Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. I'm Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments and new paradigms as our vibrant county of creative and innovative citizens continue to do good work. Today, we're standing amid a collection of antique and classic aircraft on display at the Port Townsend Aero Museum, located handsomely at Jefferson County International Airport. Joining us for our tour today is Michael Payne, the Aero Museum's director. Michael Payne, welcome to Community Tides.
Oh, thank you, Chris and Siobhan. Thank you so much for joining us here at the museum today. The museum was founded in 2001 by a retired United Airlines pilot and his wife, who also worked for United Airlines, Jerry and Peggy Teott. Jerry and Peggy had moved up from Buckley, Washington to Port Townsend after having careers in aviation. Jerry and Peggy still owned several aircraft, most of which were restored antiques. I believe they had five antique airplanes when they moved to Jefferson County. The intent when they moved to Jefferson County was not to start a museum. It was to start a new life being retired. They actually even bought a Grand Banks motorboat. And after 2 years of owning that Grand Banks, they decided boating was not for them. And they got back into aviation. And at some point in 2000 or early 2001, they said, it's time we started a museum and preserve these airplanes properly and had the ability to share them with the public.
Well, Michael, what did that first museum look like?
The first museum was actually in Jerry Teott's privately held hangar, which is on leased ground here at Jefferson County. It was a 50 by 50 metal hangar, just like any of the other ones that you might see as you're driving by the airport. The difference being is on the walk-in entry door, there was a little decal that said Port Townsend Aero Museum. And back in the day, in those early days, if somebody happened to hear about us, they would knock on that door and we'd open it and they'd poke their head in and they'd say, is this the Port Townsend Aero Museum? And of course, we would invite them in and tell them the story of the Aero Museum. And in fact, it was the museum. It was just the very beginnings of the museum. Within that hangar, they would get to see three or four of the aircraft that were on display, basically parked in there. More importantly, would see us working on restoration projects for the museum involving teenage volunteers. And that kind of is the core of our program, is working with teenagers, giving them opportunities in an industry that's pretty hard to get into without having some connection. Well, we are the connection for every one of the kids in this program, and it's a connection that can lead these kids certainly into an aviation industry and future, and at a minimum, our program can lead them into a little bit better success as a young adult through responsibility and through opportunities that they have here at the museum.
That model is just so powerful, Mike. I love that you work with our local young people and give them that opportunity to learn about aviation and potentially even become employed in aviation. How many young people have gone through the program and what are they doing now?
I would say over the years, over 21 years, I probably had over 400 kids through the program. Some of those kids have been here for 7 years. I think one of our young people that recently graduated college, she went to Duke University, Maria Morrison, she actually started when she was 11 years old, volunteering at one of our functions, our dinner dance function, and stayed with us and is a very successful young woman. She just graduated Duke University and is now going to Cambridge for a year. So that's one end of the spectrum where someone's here for basically their entire teenage lifespan. The other end of that spectrum is somebody that shows up and for whatever reason, the program's not right for them. And they might only be here for a month or two, and then we don't see them again. That doesn't happen that often, partly because we have a waiting list of kids trying to get into the program. We can only accommodate so many. I set the limit at 17 kids at any one time in the program. Those kids that are in the program have agreed to be here volunteering one day a week all year long. And that's a 7-hour workday. And so it's like a part-time job for them. not all kids have that ability to commit to that kind of time frame of volunteering. Those that do tend to stay with the program. The waiting list currently is about a year to a year and a half long. And our age range, I set the age limit, the low limit is 13 years old, and the upper limit is 17 to 18. The reason for the upper limit is because it takes a good year to year and a half of volunteering for the kids to learn so many of the aspects of what we do here. These kids are expected to learn how to run this building, the public display building, which is working with the public, complicated aircraft restorations that they assist with, grounds maintenance, all the stuff outside. In return, people ask, well, why would these kids commit to that kind of commitment? Well, if they can do that, we will allow them to earn their private pilot's license at no charge to them or their families. We provide the aircraft, the insurance, the instructors. And from there, through the connections they can make through our program, doors can open in terms of employment, in terms of career opportunities, and even college opportunities. I write a number of college recommendations for kids that have gone on to for scholarships and entry into it's like I tell the kids, I said, most college kids today have 4.0 grade averages. That's not going to open doors for you. What opens doors is the stuff above and beyond the 4.0, and that's volunteering, it's civic activities, it's ratings and things you've done above and beyond your high school education that really opens doors these days to higher institutions of learning.
It's such a powerful model based on aircraft with, when you're engaging our young people and volunteers and bringing the community together. Did you come up with that model or how did that evolve over time?
That model was devised and is 100% accredited to Jerry and Peggy Tiot, the founders of the museum. Jerry had two teenage children, a boy and a girl. And unfortunately, in their teenage years, both of those kids got involved in drugs and got involved with hanging around some of the wrong type of people to hang around with. And back then, Jerry realized that if he could give these teenage kids something meaningful to do, they were way less likely to get involved with the wrong kind of people and the wrong kind of substances. And so when Jerry was living in Buckley on a community runway, he had a private hangar and he had always projects going. And he started inviting the neighborhood kids, the same kids that were hanging out with his kids doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. He started inviting these kids into his hangar to help him work on these projects. These antique airplanes, they can take 3,000-4,000 hours of labor to restore. And even an airline pilot who works for a day and then gets 3 days off, that's not enough time to do it when you're working by yourself. So Jerry incorporated these teenage kids into his hangar, and in exchange, he taught them how to fly.
We're standing beneath the wings of some pretty impressive old airplanes, and I've always been fascinated with biplanes and these huge engines, how they got designed, how they're maintained, and all the rest of it. We're actually standing right next to a Pacific Air Transport airmail plane, and I'm just imagining in my mind's eye how that might look when they're out there delivering the mail.
Yeah.
Let's take a walk, Michael, and let's go on down the line.
First off, the airplane you were just talking about is a 1928 Traveler 2000, and it is a replica of a Pacific Air Transport airmail aircraft. To my knowledge, this Traveler did not serve as a Pacific Air Transport, although it is in an accurate livery for an aircraft that would have been delivering the mail at a period of time when the U.S. government subcontracted to private individuals to contract airmail. And these airplanes were each assigned a route. This particular route, number 8, I believe, was from Northern California to Tacoma, Washington. And that would have been, of course, 1928, when there was little to no navigation available. These people were flying seat of the pants, and the fatality rate was very high in early airmail delivery. But that Traveler that you see there was donated to the Aero Museum as a whole bunch of parts, rusty tubing, broken up wings. The wings had been converted for a crop duster, as many of these old biplanes were back in the 40s and 1950s. It came to us from Philadelphia. I must have been about 2006. One of our teenage volunteers and his father, we bought them a plane ticket to fly back to Philadelphia and rent a truck and drive the parts and pieces back to the Aero Museum. The teenager's name is Kevin Vogel, and to this day, Kevin Vogel is my shop manager, and he'll be my replacement when I retire. We worked on that airplane in our spare time through the years, and it was about a 12-year restoration in part time, and we owe the final assembly to a local volunteer, an adult volunteer named Jack Becker, who is a master woodworker. He came in one day a week for nearly 5 years and worked with kids to help on the final assembly. And anything that Jack was not familiar with or didn't know, he would seek myself out or Kevin Vogel, and we'd give him some direction, and then he would pass that direction on to whoever he was working with.
It seems like a prime example of what you do here. Let's take a walk down the line, Michael.
Okay, this airplane we're standing in front of now is a 1937 Beechcraft Staggerwing. It's a C-17B, which was an early version of the Beech Staggerwing. Back in the day, the Beech Staggerwing was the ultimate four-seat high-speed transportation aircraft. In fact, at the time, the Staggerwing was faster than most of the military aircraft. It was an executive business transport aircraft. When Walter Beech commissioned the design, he told his engineers, "I don't care what it costs, I want the ultimate aircraft built." And they did at the time. It's still a biplane. It's an enclosed cockpit. It seats four people, retractable gear. These airplanes were close to 200 mile an hour airplanes, which was amazing back in 1937. It's still a wooden fuselage, wooden wings, fabric covered, but retractable gear, had hydraulic brakes, controllable pitch propeller. It really was cutting edge for the day. This aircraft came to us as a donation, as you see it. It was fully restored by a gentleman named William Helsell, who was a longtime attorney in Seattle, Washington. His grandson had gone through our program. And how did his grandson find the Port Townsend Aero Museum? He found the Port Townsend Aero Museum the day after he and a bunch of his friends rolled a golf cart at the Jefferson County Golf Course. Got in trouble for doing that. His grandpa said, "You're going out to that Aero Museum. You're going to get some discipline and some structure in your life." And so his name was Alex. Alex did come through our program. He turned out to be a great kid. He just needed something to do. He needed direction. He needed opportunity. I think we did provide that for him. He has since moved to Alaska, and I believe is working for Alaska Electric and Power. And that's the story on our Staggerwing here.
It's a beauty. It's a beautiful red. Did they work with wood laminates?
They did, yeah. They did back then. Plywood was one of the early results because they could form it around structure as they needed to. So very thin plywood laminates, and wing spars also are quite often laminated back then.
Aerodynamics is a pretty fascinating thing.
Okay, as we round the corner here, this is looking to the south now. We've added 90 feet of display space. The total addition is 5,400 square feet. Most importantly, some south-facing windows, which let in a lot of natural light into the collection. This was provided as a grant, the money to build this, from the Hansen Family Foundation. They were the ones that were funding the Harold Hansen collection up at the North Cascades Vintage Aircraft Museum in Concrete, Washington, that went out of business about 4 years ago now. They graciously granted us the money to build this expansion to house the seven or eight aircraft that they donated to us when that museum closed. So we're very thankful to the Hansen Family Foundation for the funding for this. We're very excited to have that opened up probably in the next 2 months.
Mike, you've got quite a puzzle on your hands physically moving all of these airplanes around in this space. How do you do that?
Mainly with teenagers. Yeah. We put a person on each wing, a person on the tail. We have two advantages. One, nearly every aircraft in our collection is a tailwheel aircraft. It's a conventional gear aircraft. It's not a tricycle geared aircraft. And because of the tailwheel configuration, we can pivot these airplanes. within the wingspan, you can spin them. Oh. It makes it very easy to do. You could not do that with a tricycle geared airplane. We also have dollies that we can put under the wheels, and they jack up, and then we can move them exactly sideways. So we do that. Even with all of the advantages of, you know, hydraulic little dollies that we jack up, you still have to have people watching, because they ding so easy.
So do you have all of those new airplanes in the space already, or they're moving in sometime soon?
Most of them are here. There's a couple that are not. Most of them you see here, which is why they're so crowded together right now. We had to consolidate everything to make room, but we thought that was a better trade-off, because these are very special aircraft, and we wanted the people to be able to see them, the public, when they come into view. Once the expansion opens up, we'll have less overlap of aircraft, and we'll bring in 7, 8, or 9 additional aircraft, and we'll have space for more.
Well, Michael, ever since man watched a bird fly through the air, there's that magic there, that attraction, especially for folks that want to do the same thing. What was the magic that attracted you to all of this?
Growing up in the 60s and 70s, early 70s, it seems like my dad always had either a little sailboat or a used airplane. Back then, a used airplane cost about the same as a used car. And every town, and I'm talking about San Jose now, where I grew up, had a little airport. In fact, San Jose had a couple of them. And it was just a thing that the family did. Sometimes you would go flying for a little bit, put the airplane away, and go back home and mow the yard. So I grew up with that. At some point, I think airport property in these little towns became too valuable, and they started closing down all the little airports. So the kids today don't have that same opportunity, that same exposure that I did as a kid growing up around airplanes, which is another thing that makes this program so wonderful, because this program is available to any kid that wants to give me a call, make an appointment, and set up an interview time, and is willing to get on the waiting list. I've always been fascinated with flying from an early age because of that. My background is actually mechanical. Out of high school, I got a job as an apprentice at a large Seattle automotive dealership, where I literally was a mechanic apprentice, and quickly became a journeyman mechanic, quickly became a master mechanic, and eventually became service manager of that same dealership. I was there for 18 years. The 14-hour days were too much for my wife at the time, and so we decided to retire from that industry, and I moved to Squim, bought property on a private community runway. I built a hangar with a small apartment up above, temporary apartment where I still live 20 years ago, and opened a restoration shop in Squim. And I met Jerry. This is in November of 2002. Jerry was a very direct individual. He was nice and pleasant, but I was an adult. You know, I was 40 years old at the time, and even then, the program was really more about teenagers than giving adults something to do. And it wasn't until Jerry found out that I had a hangar in Squim with my own paint booth that he was interested. At that point, Jerry said, "We need you to volunteer at the museum." And the following week, I had museum parts and pieces for a contract job aircraft they were working on in my hangar paint booth in Squim, doing the paintwork. And so that's how it started for me. And I volunteered at that time 2 days a week, just as if it was a job. A year and a half later, they hired me full time and put me on the board of directors. And I've been here ever since.
We haven't even gotten to the shop. I think what we're going to do is come back and visit you.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
I don't want to sign off until we hear how our community can support the Aero Museum. What you're doing is so wonderful, and I know a lot of people are going to be curious about how they can come visit and how they can participate and support what you're doing.
The museum is open Wednesday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The public can support us by coming and visiting. We sell individual memberships, family memberships, which lets you come as many times as you want during the year to see what we're up to. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means we can accept donations of material items, hopefully aviation related, but not always, and funding. The port director, Aaron Berg, has done a fantastic job with this airport in the time that he's been here. So if you can support the airport, that helps support the Aero Museum and all the young people that come through this program.
Well, Michael Payne, until next time, thanks for joining us on Community Tides.
Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure. Come visit us at the Port Townsend Aero Museum.
Thanks, Chris. See you next time.
Thanks, Siobhan.